tell us what's happening up there. David, you're welcome to us here again.
Thank you very much, Brendan.
David, I was listening to a piece, I don't know if you heard anything of it, of the ISS, and there's some sort of a problem with Boeing and all this type of thing, and how they're going to manage to get people up there or down there or whatever they're going to do. Have you anything on that, or have you heard anything about it?
Yeah, for the magazine, we've been tracking this story very closely. And what happened was Boeing has a new spacecraft to independently take people into space. So it doesn't, it's not a NASA spacecraft. Like, NASA farmed out a lot of their manned space activities to private companies. They see, you know, their initial job was to trailblaze, to get people into space, and now it's up to the commercial sector to do it. So Elon Musk's SpaceX company has been taking astronauts up and down to the International Space Station and private astronauts as well. Jeff Bezos, he's going to do the same, taking people to the moon. They're building the lunar module that should go up in the next decade, certainly. And Boeing are in on the action as well. They've built their own manned spacecraft that can take people to the International Space Station. Or so we thought. It did get there, but there was problems with the thrusters. And they're not entirely sure that these thrusters will control the spacecraft on re-entry. And they're a bit nervous about putting human lives at risk. The latest news is that they were supposed to go for 10 days. They've been up there for certainly more than 10 weeks. And they may be up there till next year and come down on a different spacecraft. So it's not great news for Boeing. This was their maiden flight and they haven't quite gone to plan. But you know, there's always teething problems with things like this. And this is the private sector stumbling along to try and get its act together. If it had all gone perfectly, I suppose we would have been equally as surprised. There's been no loss of life. Nothing serious has happened. The engineers are being overly cautious, but that's what you want to do, err on the side of caution when human lives are at stake.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the ISS at the moment, how many people are there and where are they from?
Yeah, well, it's a new crew waiting to go up. This Boeing issue has delayed things a bit. So the Boeing crew is two people, Sonny and Butch, veteran astronauts, who are flying this sort of initial mission as test pilots. And they're stuck up there, probably till next year, and having only expected to spend 10 days on board. But there's also the other crew of seven astronauts on the International Space Station anyway, who thought they would just have these 10-day visitors and now are stuck with them. I'm sure they're glad to have the company. So there's nine people on the International Space Station, and the Chinese have their own space station. They got three on board. So there's 12 people in space at the moment, if my statistics are correct. And, you know, the next mission is waiting to go up. The old mission then will return. They usually do six-month tours of duty. But as I said, this Boeing issue is going to make things a little bit tricky as to how they're going to do it all. There's plenty of room on the International Space Station, but putting people in space is a very serious business. Mm-hmm. You don't change your plans willy-nilly. Astronauts can be training for years for their mission.
And are there Russians up there as well, or is it just all Americans?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, the one great thing, despite the problems that Russia and, let's say, Western society is having with the war happening on the ground and all the politics that's been going on, the Russian space agency and the Americans have been cooperating beautifully in space to show the politicians down below how it should be done. So Russia does intend getting out of the International Space Station agreement and either going it alone or joining the Chinese or another space station, because the International Space Station years are numbered. You know, it was first launched, the first module, over 20 years ago, so it's getting a bit old. And it's due to be retired in 2030. And then there are either going to be private space stations after that, or we just don't know what's going to happen. So there are Russians as part of the crew on the International Space Station all the time. In fact, they launched the first block of the International Space Station and lots of shuttle missions, and other craft took more parts up until you've got this object that would just barely fit on the pitch of Croke Park. To give you some idea of the scale, 400 tons of very expensive space hardware, which you can see crossing Irish skies for about 2 weeks every 2 months. Your next chance to see an evening sky is not till next month in September, and people who follow us on our social media, you'll see the links on our webpage, astronomy.ie, will get predictions for that every day in September when it's flying over.
Okay, well, that's always useful. Now, the other thing, David, I suppose, coming up, we have the Perseid meteor shower, which is at this time of the year is always a very interesting spectacle. What exactly are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about one of, if not the best shooting star showers, meteor showers of the year. There's also the Geminids in December, and the two are roughly the same strength. Perseid's always easier to watch because it's warmer than the depths of winter. So this is coming up and it will peak on Monday. So Sunday night will be very good, dusk till dawn, and Monday night as well, from dusk till dawn, will also be very good. You should expect to see 20 times more meteors than normal, at least 10 times more. And, you know, you'll see one, on average night, you would see maybe one meteor every 10 minutes. So now you'll be seeing one a minute. And of course, you know, they don't come every minute. So you might see two in 1 minute, nothing for 2 or 3 minutes, two or three the next minute. It's just like that. So it's a great thing for the whole family to get out and watch. And if people, again, go to our website, astronomy.ie, they'll see we have a national Perseid watch. So we want people all over the country to just stand out for 15 minutes at a time and count how many you see every 15 minutes. If you can spend more than 15 minutes, half an hour, a whole hour, even a few hours, or dusk till dawn if you're a real enthusiast, yeah, send all your 15-minute counts. This is how we know that this is one of the best meteor showers of the year, not because the scientists monitor it, but because the general public count the meteors, and you don't need any equipment, just a naked eye, and a clear sky helps as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I know that, as I said before, that like when we were young, we used to kind of just literally lie out in the grass, get out a blanket and lie down and look up at the sky and watch all these things because they were so spectacular and they would still be the same. So it's not, as you say, it's not a technical thing to do. You don't need anything special. But get your nice deck chairs or your loungers and have a nice cup of coffee or something or a drink and just sit, lie out there and just watch the sky. But it takes a while for your eyes to get used to it as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you should give your eyes at least 5 minutes, people. Stay much longer than that, but I find after 5 minutes, especially if you're in a suburban location or a few streetlights around, then you won't get fully darked up. If you go out to a rural sky after about 15 minutes, your eyes are doing almost as good as they ever will. So, you know, don't look at your phone or any bright light computer screens, anything like that, or car headlights or streetlights, if any you can see. Keep your eyes dark, adapted, and they are super sensitive to faint light then. The human eye is an amazing device. And, of course, it sees a huge chunk of sky, and the meteors can appear anywhere. It's called the Perseid meteor shower because the meteors point back to the constellation of Perseus, which is over in the northeast. But you can see them anywhere in the sky. Just they'll point back in that direction if you trace the path backwards. And really, all the meteors you're going to see Sunday night and Monday night are going to be Perseids. Maybe 1 in 10 won't be, but that's small numbers. We won't worry about those too many. That's why we just want people to count how many they see each night.
And I suppose the big thing then is, like, I mean, why, you know, these two particular times? I mean, what are we, where are we in the relation to everything else at this particular time every year? What are we actually going through, or what's going through us?
Yeah, well, the meteor showers are all caused by comets. Comets are giant, dirty snowballs. Now, they're small compared to planets, but they'd be kilometers or tens of kilometers wide, which is a big, dirty snowball by human standards. We're talking mountain, big mountain size, but tiny compared to planets. And comets tend to go on long elliptical orbits with the sun near one end, and they go out to the depths of space and free solid, then they fall back into the sun. In the case of the Perseids, the comet that does it goes around about every 130 years or so. And it was last year in 1992, so it's going to be a long time before it comes back. And it's been around the sun probably hundreds or thousands of times. So although the solid lump of comet is tiny and its orbit is vast, it spread dust all around its orbit. And when we get to this point in space every year, we're closest to the comet's orbit. So any dust that it shed hundreds, thousands of years ago, that's what we're plowing through. And this dust is only about the size of a grain of sand. But it hits the Earth's upper atmosphere at about 130,000 miles an hour. And the friction that's caused vaporizes the air and the particle itself. And you see this fiery streak crossing the sky. If it's a bigger particle, for instance, if it's the size of a pea, it would light up the entire landscape like day. There's that much energy in something that small traveling so fast. They didn't know this in ancient times as to what meteors were. They called them shooting stars because they look like stars shooting across the sky, but they're nothing to do with stars. They're tiny, much closer to us, very high up, well above even jet aircraft, so no danger to people on the ground or people in aircraft, and a fantastic free celestial fireworks display that we want everybody to get involved with. Somebody in Ireland is going to have clear skies, hopefully we all will, and we want people in the clear patches to send us their accounts. All the details are on astronomy.ie.
Okay, just before we finish up, are there any major planets or anything like that for people to see at the moment?
Yeah, almost if to steal the limelight from the Perseids, because there's no moon interfering this year, so conditions are perfect for those who don't live near bright lights. This planet Jupiter and Mars are getting extremely close. I've been watching the last few mornings, and they're already very spectacular. And on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday next week, they're going to be extremely close. We're calling it a double planet. And these are two of the brightest objects in the sky, passing less than the width of the moon from each other. There's a full diagram article in Astronomy On magazine. If you order it today, you'll get it in time to watch the spectacle next week and see the whole thing. You've got about 10 days to watch it. So that's a huge event. Very, very rare to have a double planet like that and so easy to see. And at the end of the month, we've got our annual star party, the big starbecue, a barbecue under the stars, where we're setting up giant telescopes in the dark skies of the Wicklow Mountains and inviting everybody on the island to come and look at the wonders of the universe, star clusters, galaxies. The star attraction this year will be Saturn, which has its rings tipped almost edge onto us. We won't see them this good again till 2039, 15 years. So if you're ever thinking of coming to a starbecue, the one on August 31st is the one to go to. And if you book now, you'll get your tickets at the early bird rate. Again, all the details are on astronomy.ie. There's even a movie made of it from previous years that you can watch on a YouTube link there. Okay. So I can't recommend that to people enough. No matter where you are, plan to be in the Wicklow Mountains on August 31st.
Okay, David, we'll be talking to you before that. I've no doubt to fill people in as well. But thanks a million for being with us this evening, and good luck. I hope that the skies will be clear. Thanks, David.